BJ's brother and Jess Breed's uncle. They represent the Bafari family, who own the subject 28.27 acres, but they also own and farm other properties, those properties that are identified in yellow.
Can you turn the lights off, please?
So, again, for reference, the red area is the subject 28.27 acre piece, and then the rest of the property outlined in yellow is owned by the Bopari family that they farm and actively produce crops. Jess Breed, who will speak in a moment, is a graduate of UC Davis with a degree in environmental science. She came back to Fresno to live and work on the Bopari family farm. The Bafari family desires to sell the existing residence and split the proceeds amongst Bopari family members who helped build and finance the home so that the grandparents who live in the home now can have a smaller home and that Bresprit can live on the farm and actively be engaged in farming operations. The proposed variance will allow the creation of a parcel that she can finance and own for herself. With respect to the required findings, the existing home represents an exceptional circumstance as no other structures or improvements are proposed by the variance. In other words, what you see there today, the roads, the wells, all the sheds, the home, nothing changes. So there's no new impacts to agriculture. Finding number two, the Bopari's have a right to one home for each 20 acres, and the family request is that they have a right to sell their home to their immediate family relative. The home could be rented by right, and a second residence can be granted under an administrative process. The home could be also given to her by the existing ordinance in an administrative process. These options are not of interest to the Bopari family. To keep the farm's residential density and ag production unchanged, the Bopari family voluntarily waives any right for additional homes to be built on the proposed 2.5-acre piece or the remainder 26.9-acre parcel. So in other words, no new homes would be built on either the red portion or the small yellow portion that we're proposing to create so that no residential density increases would occur as a result of this variance, even though there are opportunities for doing so in the ordinance. Finding number three, staff concurs that there's no adverse impacts, but for the record, the well exists. It's a plentiful well. The septic system operates without disruption. No crops will be removed from agricultural production as the home site improvements all exist. We have six letters of support from adjacent and nearby property owners. Their names and addresses are here, and I'll hand those to staff. With respect to finding number four, Section 816 of your zoning ordinance states that the intention of this AE20 zone is to protect against encroachments of non-agricultural uses, which would be injurious to agriculture. Well, the home already exists, and she would be an owner and an operator of the existing farm. It's essentially the opposite of the testimony that you heard just a few minutes ago. She'll be her own neighbor. The existing home and its future use by a Bopari family member will maintain the Bopari farming efficiency and allow the family to continue to produce quality agricultural goods and in no way be injurious to agriculture. Also, the ordinance requires that the uses be integral to the ag operation. We believe that an owner-occupied farming home is in fact integral to an ag operation. Having a family member on the farm increases security and reduces the potential for vandalism, adversely affecting agricultural productivity. The remaining 26.98 acres is a viable farming unit. They continue to farm not only the red area, but all of the other areas, as I mentioned earlier, in yellow, which totals about 500 acres. The proposed parcel remain integrated with the other adjacent farmland. In other words, no new roads, no new improvements associated with the proposed variances. They all exist. There's no section in the ordinance that talk about this type of a proposal. It's kind of odd. They're being truthful with the commission and with staff. They're selling the parcel where there were other options. We ask that you make the required findings, as this is not in, the proposal is not inconsistent with agriculture, and it's not opposed by surrounding property owners. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them of me.
Thank you. Commissioner Wolf, you want to start?
I think you just passed around a thing written by support from some of the neighbors.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering if you can point out those homes on American, DeWolf, and Logan?
Yes, there we did
have
so.
Have a pointer someplace to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, they're here. All of these in here, here, here.
There's only four.
Yeah.
So where are the four houses?
I think there's six.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's six, ma'am. Yeah, there's six.
Six.
They're outlined in the orange. And there were others, but we just ran out of time. Yeah, in the kind of orange colors, these.
The ones in yellow are owned by the applicant.
Yes, this is the applicant's property here. And that's the proposed home site.
Are the neighbors.
Yes, this would be the residual property or remainder property. Again, part of the 500 acres that they farm. So we got letters of support here, 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 and here. And there were others, but they just ran out of time.
The intention is to parcel that off and sell it?
To the daughter, the family member. The family member.
And there is no other process to do that as far as gift deed or?
There is. There is a gift deed, Commissioner Abrahamian, but the gift deed process is requires a certain period of time that's undefined in the ordinance that so that the gift deed isn't a sure conveyance. So, and there's tax consequences. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there's the family has spent money as a family unit building the existing home. And they believe it's equitable that she pay for the home and then the proceeds are split equally amongst other family members. And whatever proceeds are left are going to go to build a new home for the grandparents who live in the house now.
But they're not building the new home on the property.
No, sir. No, sir. No new homes are going to be built on this property, and we offer as a condition that no new homes would be built on the remaining parcel.
What I understand, in the past, we used to that offer would be made, and we would accept it, and we'd move on. But now that offer, they can't do it that way. In other words, we can't restrict. Council, I don't know if you want to mention it or not.
Correct. It's not enforceable to have. It'd be a spot zoning kind of thing where you can't have a house on a particular property.
So we can't say that no new homes would be built if they're entitled to build it for future owners.
Yeah, and we understand the county can't, but we're offering it to the county.
Well, then no, but we understand that. Yeah. We're talking about if it's flipped, if the whole thing's flipped next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Mr. Pushel?
No. You'll hear from Jess Breed right now.
Okay.
But there is an existing home on that.
So yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So no new homes are going to be constructed. The home that her grandparents live in now, they're going to move. She's going to move on into the site.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you talk about the extraordinary circumstances or conditional conditions applicable to the property, is it because the configuration of the property and just surrounding properties, and that's the only home on the properties? Is that part of your?
But essentially, it's also that there's no new homes being constructed. The home is already there. In other words, we're not trying to create a parcel and add a home.
I understand that, but to approve the variance, we need to make that finding.
Understood. And that's our recommendation to the commission is that the existing home represents a circumstance, unlike the properties that are immediately adjacent to the west and to the south, where there are no homes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, Commissioner Wolf?
This home has not been there very long.
About 12
years. Just 2010.
Yeah.
So it's all very new.
Relatively new.
So they're changing their mind entirely. And it says, if the applicant cannot sell the home to his daughter, the applicant is faced with the one option of tearing down the existing home to rebuild a big home, a home big enough to accommodate his parents.
Yeah.
So what's that mean? So does that mean the parents will live there?
No, they're not going. They're not going to live there.
So what does it mean?
They're going to go to a smaller home.
So, yeah. But they would tear down the existing home for some reason to build a small home someplace else, someplace far away.
Yeah, they're going to live. They're not going to live on the site just because of their age.
I don't understand why the house would be torn down.
Yeah, and I think that was just a discussion for discussion purposes. They want to keep the home.
For somebody.
Yeah, for the daughter.
So the daughter can live there no matter what.
Yes. She doesn't live there now, but she will live there.
Okay. And I also read that the owner had already applied to have the property withdrawn from the Williamson Act.
And yes.
Possibly denied?
Yes.
And the reason they did that was?
Well, I was surprised, Commissioner Wolf, about the determination, because there was a back and forth amongst the commissioners. I don't need to waste your time, but it was the Ag Commission. They didn't approve it, but that's their prerogative.
So that parcel remains in the Williamson Act?
No, it's going to go to the board on appeal,
oh.
And we'll just leave it at that. It's not uncommon. It's very similar to your staff with respect to variance findings. The Ag Commission, Williamson Act Commission, just feels that things like that need to be left to the board, I believe. I know they have discretion, but I think that's my impression as I go to these meetings.
So does that make a difference with regards to this application,
no.
Whether or not it's approved?
No. In other words, we have to go to a board on appeal, Commissioner Abrahamian. So if you support the variance, we're going to go to the board. If you deny the variance, we're going to go to the board.
Understood.
I just thought that a property in the Williamson Act couldn't be subdivided, or if you will. Is that?
Right.
Well, maybe repeat it for staff.
Just for clarity, the variance stands alone as a single item, but in order for them to actually affect what they want to do, to create a parcel map, they would have to get out of the Williamson Act provision. But that's not under the commission's purview to make that decision, nor is it under the ALUCC's provision. They don't make a decision, they make a recommendation. They made a recommendation for denial, so it's not an appeal, it's just a recommendation. Anybody requesting to be withdrawn from the act has to go to the board for that action to occur. So you can have a land use entitlement, such as a variance or a conditional use permit, approved for the land use portion, but they may not be able to continue the project if they cannot get the corresponding Williamson Act release. You sort of have two masters. You got to please them both.
Okay. Any other questions of the speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Pushel. Anyone else to speak in support of this project?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jasneet Boparai. I live at 7916 East American Avenue, Fowler, California, 93625. Growing up, my family had the privilege of having four generations living in one household. My great-grandparents, my grandparents, my parents, my brother, and I. We farm approximately 500 acres total, where we established Boparai Farms, where we grow mixed crops of almonds, pistachios, peaches, oranges, lemons, raisin grapes, wine grapes, and cherries in the last 25 years. I graduated from the University of California in Davis with a degree in environmental policy with an emphasis in water management and hydrology, as well as a minor in international agriculture development. with my education and knowledge in agriculture policies, I moved back home to the San Joaquin Valley to further my lifelong dream to work on our family farm. I'm willing to work hard to have a home that I can call my own. Creating a parcel of my own will essentially allow me to finance my home loan and after financing, own my own home site. Being present and living on our family farm will increase productivity and relieve the workload of other family members, not create potential concerns about the incompatibility of the home site. My life has been centered around farming. Therefore, the purpose of this proposed variance is to create a home site for me so that I may live and work on our family farm. I would not do anything to harm agriculture, and particularly not my own family farm. The goal is to further the Bull Pride legacy. I thank you for your request, for your consideration of my request.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the speaker? Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Wolf.
What was your last name again?
It's Boparai.
Oh, Boparai.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Ms. Boparai, can you not live in the house right now? Your family not let you live in the house?
No, I do not live in that house currently, no.
Would they let you live there if it was an empty house?
Yes.
So you don't have to buy it, really? I mean, it would still be available. I'm looking at options. And often what we do is we pull off these parcels because somebody's lived in the house for 70 years and they just don't want to lose their house, but they want to sell their farm or something like that. And those, you know, those stories really pull at our heartstrings. This is a brand new house. I mean, so this just happened. And so this one's a harder one to wrap our head around because you may decide to move back to Davis someday, and then what happens to the parcel? It can be sold to somebody else.
I mean, if that was the goal for me to move back to Davis, I would have stayed up in Northern California after I finished my degree, but I came back so I could live on the house at the home site and farm. That's the goal.
Okay. I'm just wondering, can't you live there anyway? That's all.
The thing is, it's a Bull Pride Farms is a partnership. So
it's the extended.
Yes. It's my father as well as my uncle. And because it's a partnership, they can't just hand it to me because there's that equity involved of the other partnership.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Anyone here in opposition to this application? I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and motion. Any discussion?
Unfortunately, I can't see this one. I can see a family that can rent this or figure out their partnership and somehow figure out their own plan about helping out their niece and their daughter. I just can't see it. It's just too new. There's no, I just feel like we're dividing up a beautiful piece of property for no great reason. So I'm going to move and agree with the staff and move to determine that the required findings cannot be made and move to deny variance application number 4108. Direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's action.
Is there a second? Do we have a second?
Consent. Right.
Well, I'm going to second the motion just to move it along. Where the commission stands on it. If it doesn't pass, then we'll come up with another motion. I think I can make the findings. I was close, but I'd like to hear from the other commissioners. But I think I'm going to, even though it doesn't sound consistent, I'm going to probably vote against the motion.
The motion to second it?
Yeah, I mean, if that's irregular, if I shouldn't do it, I'll wait to see. All right, then I'm going to withdraw my second and see if anyone else wishes to make a second. Okay, then the motion to deny, as per staff's recommendation, does not, it dies for lack of a second, correct? Okay. Now, we'll go back to the commission and ask for another motion. Do we have one?
Well, yeah, I don't know if I can make all the findings.
Okay.
But I think there's multiple ways that the family can get this done, and I see their intent.
But let me ask Commissioner Carver. So are you saying that you support the applicant's proposal? Or when you're saying there are other ways to get this done?
Well, like a gift deed, right? They could split this property with a gift deed.
Okay.
It's going to take more time. It's not going to be the way that they want to do it financially for the partnership. And, like, I get that. So the easiest way for them to do it so that she can have her home site and it gets paid, the partnership gets paid, is for them to do it this way. Right? That's how I'm understanding it.
I believe that's correct. The issue is coming up with the findings.
Mm-hmm.
So if I understand, you don't support Commissioner Wolf's position or her motion, or there's at least nobody made the second. So I'll make a motion to approve. And my motion, contrary to the staff's recommendation, I believe I can make the findings. With regards to the testimony that was heard, I do have a concern I understand the applicant has offered not to put additional homes on the balance of the property or do whatever they could do on a parcel that doesn't have a home. But we can't hold them to that. And if, like Commissioner Wolf said, if it turns around next year, they sell it, then you've created a separate parcel and with an additional home that you said wouldn't be built. So we have no control over that. But with regards to the findings, Commissioner Trotta, you had a comment?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If we have so many concerns, making the motion, right?
Well, Commissioner Wolf made the motion.
No, we have too many. No, I'm saying is too many. We have too many concerns here.
Well, I'm...
That's my comment.
Oh, okay. Then I'll make the motion, and we'll see if it dies for lack of a second. Then I guess there's a technical denial. But, let me just... So we can move it along. The speaker, the applicant's representative, talked about the extraordinary circumstances. There's the existing house. The family owns the surrounding parcels, as pointed out on the map. The neighboring properties owned by other people did not object or are not objecting based on the letters and what we heard. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly a property right for the, when you talk about a large family, to have that opportunity. Let me just finish the motion and then we'll ask for a discussion. I don't see it being detrimental to the public for finding three, and it is not contrary to the intent or objective of the general plan. The house is already there, and they are a farming operation. So that's my motion. I'll see if there's anyone that wishes to second that. Okay,
I'll second.
You'll second it? Okay. So the chair made the motion to approve with the comments stated, and Commissioner Carver made the second. Is there any discussion?
I have discussion.
Yes.
I think that pulling a parcel off of an AE20 property like we're looking and approving it, I would think all the neighbors would approve that, because they want to do the same thing themselves. Everybody wants to pull a little parcel off. Everybody does. And everybody's going to ask for the next little parcel. And that's just what I think happens. And that's the reason I think sometimes we protect these properties with the house on it. Mm-hmm. That's all. I mean, I'm just looking at this. This just happened. This is 2010. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was probably sitting here, you know, when they bought this property or the house was built. So it's kind of a funny thing that we are allowing this in a neighborhood that doesn't have parcels cut off. And what's going to happen now? Who's the next neighbor that's going to come over? And I bet it's going to be one of those people in the orange that's going to ask for the same thing.
Okay. Any other comments? Discussion? I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Chata?
I can't make up my mind, so I abstain.
Okay, Commissioner Yule is absent. Nothing. Commissioner Wolf?
No.
Okay, so we have 3 affirmative votes out of 5. Council, is that the abstention? Okay. I mean, we have a majority of the quorum.
If we pass that 3 of 5.
Okay.
So what is
even had he voted no.
4 of us abstained.
Who's
abstained? No, but just out of curiosity. If 4 had abstained? Yeah.
And it wouldn't pass. So we have 3 yes votes. Is there any issue with abstaining?
No.
Okay. So this motion passes to approve the applicant's request. Whatever happens afterwards with the Board of Supervisors, that's to be seen at a later date. So thank you, everyone. Let's go to item number 5.
Regular agenda item number 5, unclassified conditional use permit application number 3748 and initial study number 8274 filed by Malaga Bess LLC proposing to allow the construction and operation of a modular battery energy storage system along with an appurtenant equipment including inverters, a switchyard, and approximately 250-foot long overhead or underground electrical connection to the existing peaker plant yard switch with an estimated storage capacity of 140 megawatts on an approximately 4.5-acre portion of a 19-acre parcel and a temporary 4.2-acre construction lay-down storage yard in the M3 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the south side of North Avenue between South Maple and South Chestnut Avenues, approximately 740 feet west of its intersection with South Chestnut Avenue and approximately 1,300 feet east of the near city limits of the city of Fresno.
Chairman and Commissioners, Jeremy Shaw, Department of Public Works and Planning. The subject application proposes to allow the construction and operation of a battery storage facility, which will provide on-demand electrical energy to the grid and will be interconnected to and charged by the electrical grid via an existing site switchyard, which in turn is connected to the PG&E Malaga substation located approximately 0.6 miles to the east. Subject property is located on the south side of East North Avenue between South Chestnut and South Maple within the unincorporated community of Malaga, and approximately 1/4 mile east of the city of Fresno, near city limits. Subject property is zoned M3 heavy industrial, and surrounding land uses are characterized by industrial operations with sparse residential development to the east and northeast. The site plan drawings show views of the proposed facility and existing development. Proposed battery storage facility would be in the light blue area here, and the area just to the north is an existing gas-fired power plant. This elevation drawing shows a rendering of an approximation of the proposed battery storage module. Pursuant to the zoning ordinance, there are five findings which must be made in order to approve a conditional use permit as follows. Finding one, that the site is adequate in size and shape to accommodate the proposed use. Finding two, that the streets and highways surrounding the proposed development are adequate in width and pavement type to accommodate the traffic generated by the proposal. Finding three, that the project will have no adverse effects on surrounding property. Finding four, that the proposal is consistent with the county's general plan. And finding five, that the recommended conditions deemed necessary to protect the public health, safety, and general welfare. Based on the factors cited in the analysis, staff has determined that the five required findings can be made and therefore recommends approval of unclassified conditional use permit application number 3748 with the recommended mitigation measures, conditions of approval, and project notes included as exhibit one of the staff report. And thank you. This concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Thank you, Elliot. Would the applicant come forward? Say your name and address for the record, please.
My name is John Boyer. Office Boyer, J-O-N, and then B-O-Y-E-R. And I live in 1345 Imperial Beach, California.
Okay. You agree with all the conditions?
Yes.
Anything to add, or did you want to make a presentation?
I don't want to make a presentation. I can maybe explain just briefly how the unit is going to work. There is an existing peaker plant at the site. The idea here is, even though there's these technically separate, they'll work together. They have essentially the BESS will collect energy from the grid when it's there's a lot of solar energy on the grid. And that way, during the peak periods, when the peaker plant right now runs, the BESS site will run for an hour to 2 hours. And if there's extended runs, then the peaker site will come in. So it will essentially help the state make its greenhouse gas goals. So that's the intent of what we're trying to do. And to be able to save carbon costs and things like that on the site and allow the some more flexibility in dispatch. So, just to give the idea of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
And could I ask your position with the company?
I am the Director of Environmental Health and Safety.
Okay. Do you have other projects like this in the valley or?
We have several plants in the state of California. We have 10.
Okay.
We do have plans to hybridize our fleet or to add BESS elements to our facilities where we can. Okay. So, yes, this week we have a couple other. I think Henrietta, which is in Kings County and is an Energy Commission site. We've already gotten our equivalent from the CEC permitting, also a border down in San Diego, Hanford, and the city of Hanford. So there's three other facilities that have gone through this process and have already been permitted.
Any questions of the speaker? Thank you, Mr. Boyer. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? And there's staff, there's no correspondence from anyone?
No, sir.
Okay. At this time, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission. Staff is recommending approval. Do we have a motion or a discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommended motion.
Okay. The motion is made by Commissioner Arabian to accept staff's recommendation to approve. Is there a second? Commissioner Wolf makes a second. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Number six. Oh, we got the big guns, huh?
Big guns.
Chris has a few words of wisdom for us today.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Commission. Chris Motta with the Department of Public Works and Planning. I just want to briefly make a brief presentation of the Commission that we will be today releasing the draft environmental impact report and redrafted documents related to the general plan review and comprehensive zoning ordinance update. And a big thank you to Joseph, who's assisted me in running a lot of notices and CDs with the documents on it. Wouldn't have been able to get it out this week without his assistance. For the commission, sure. So the CDs that are being provided to you contain the draft documents. That's the draft program environmental impact report and the draft general plan policy document, zoning ordinance, and background report. These documents are going to be released via email blast and publication this week. Actually, today I'll be sending out an email to interested parties and for a 60-day review period for the program EIR. This will be coming back to the commission as an action item, and it will eventually be considered before the Board of Supervisors. One thing I did want to briefly gauge the commission's interest, as we've had cycling through different commissioners, and this has been a very long ongoing project, really started in 2006, and I know that this has been discussed with the commission previously. As we get towards the finish line, there has been talk about doing a workshop with the commission. I just wanted to gauge if that's still of interest to the commission to do a workshop prior to actually having the item presented and considered by the commission. That's fine. We're scoped for that. It is a lot of documents. So we would, if that's the case, would certainly want to schedule that before, probably during the 60-day review period, bring it for you to just, not for any action, but just to go through the, kind of summarize the documents, take some questions as you're reviewing them and sort of.
Would that workshop be a forum for people concerned to come up?
It would still be a public workshop. So in that case, you know, the public could come and do their thing.
Are they going to speak and will it be like a hearing? I know it's a workshop is a workshop, but
it would be like a hearing, but with no action. So no action be requested from the commission.
So something that someone mentioned at a workshop isn't necessarily something. It's not like testimony during a hearing.
We would as part of an agendized item. We would you know, if they want to submit testimony. We wouldn't deny them taking the testimony. But again, we're not asking.
I didn't know if just a workshop. There's going to be a lot of questions and information exchanged. I didn't know what our role would be if someone came up specifically with questions.
I think since it's not the hearing, it would be appropriate to, you know, table those questions or to answer those questions until we get to a point when this decision's actually going to be made on the idea about the workshop is really to sort of introduce the topic and take questions before we actually ask for action on the item at a subsequent item. So
just with the commission and whatever public members wish to be here.
Correct.
Commissioner Carver?
Yeah, I understand that we wouldn't be asked to take action at a workshop, but because it's in the public comment time frame, any public who comes and comments, those comments could be added to the public.
Absolutely,
comment,
they can be submitted to the record.
So they will be on the record.
They'll be on, yes.
Questions can be brought up. Doesn't mean that staff is going to answer all those questions, but those will all be part of the public comment period if they're brought up during the workshop.
And that'd be the same whether or not we have a workshop.
Yeah. Typically with comments that we ask them to submit them in writing. They could make public comments but we encourage them to submit them in writing for the record. The idea behind the workshop really is because it's a lot of documents and we don't have to have one. So the first point was asking if the commission's interested in having one. And then we would do one. Otherwise, we just have the hearing item. We'll go forward. And
when were you planning on having the
hearing? Don't have that scheduled yet. We're going to have community outreach meetings with this matter. Probably within that time period. We're looking within 30 days of actually 30 days into that 60-day period. We'll have community meetings with different...
Okay, so there's at least, it won't be for at least 60 days that this comes to
Correct.
Us.
Correct. It will be well after 60 days. Right. Well after, because as an EIR, there has to be a response to comments. So the consultant will need to collect all the comments related to the EIR response, respond to those in a final EIR document. So this is really just sort of the initial, this is coming, going to be coming to the commission. The public's going to have it. It'll be up on the website. It's actually up on the website now for anybody to view, but wanted to have the commission also be aware of it as it is released, so you have ample time to look at it.
What is the action that's going to be asked of us to take on this? Just an approval or a recommendation to the board?
It's a recommendation to the board. So it's a legislative item. It's a general plan amendment. We call it a general plan review, but it's an amendment to the general plan and a text amendment to the zoning ordinance. It's going to completely redesign the zoning ordinance, but functionally those are what those things are. So there will be a recommendation to the board.
So two things. It's good for us to know what we're recommending to the board, number one. And number two, because it's amendment to the zoning ordinance, that's something we do need to know about, because that's what we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
looking at projects. So in my opinion, it would be good to have a workshop. And my second, yeah, that's great.
And because of that, it's one of the reasons I'm going to get the documents early.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of documents. So
how many pages?
Well, the EIR is 818. But that's with appendices, though. I mean, it's the document itself is only four. So part of that, my effort would be
to cliff notes on that.
Digest that, yeah. digest and I, you know, say, well, I'd like a hard copy of that. Well, again, it's to try to summarize, you know, what are the key changes.
You want to get a consensus now, or did you want to check with the other commissioners as well?
I think getting a consensus, it sounds like. I mean, this isn't a formal action. It's really just kind of getting a consensus.
The other commissioners have comments as far as a workshop?
Probably be worthwhile for recommending it to the board.
It seems to me that it is a good idea, even if there's some input before you publish the final thing, even by the community. Every time we get somebody that comes up and says, why didn't you think of this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's okay. Too late. So the workshop seems like the opportunity for suggestions to come in. I don't think you need to... I don't want you to expect that I'm going to look at an 800-page document prior to the workshop or even during the workshop. But I think the fact that this is going to bring some suggestions in is a nice opportunity for everybody.
Yeah. And part of my goal in providing it early is just for those that want to start looking at it, it's available. Okay. To look at, you can look at that, what the zoning ordinance is going to look like.
Is this part of the housing element update, or is this completely separate?
It's separate. The EIR is going to reference part of the housing element action just as far as to cover some of the CEQA concerns of that, but that will be a separate matter brought before the commission. It's just unusual, only because it's taken a long time to get this point with the general plan review, that they're now coinciding, that the deadline for the housing element
right.
is now the same thing. Ideally, this would have been done in staff had been over the years trying to take this forward, but with the direction to do the EIR, because it took quite a bit more time to do that. So we're at that point now. And certainly I do understand it's a lot of documentation. It's going to be it's an important thing. It's going to address some things. Environmental justice is a new element to the general plan that doesn't exist in the 2000s. So that's going to be a new element. And when we have a workshop, expect public to show up. There'll be interested public for sure. There's some very passionate folks out there about this thing. So. Mm-hmm.
And there's still time to make revision, isn't there?
Yeah, because this is part of that this effort. And then if we go back, depending on what kind of direction we get, and just the comments, we may revise the documents. So
okay.
That's all I had, but thank you for your patience. I know it's a long hearing today. Thank you.
I had one quick question, staff, not related to this.
Okay.
It's off the wall, I guess, but the renaming of Kings Canyon to Cesar Chavez Boulevard has been in the news a lot, and there was a Fresno Bee article that talked about why it hadn't gone to the Planning Commission, and I've never been involved with the renaming of a street, but do we serve any role in something like that? Obviously, the city has said yes, the county has said no, or continuing or something.
The Planning Commission has no jurisdiction over road names.
Okay.
Planning Commission is just a commission.
Okay.
Okay, Commissioner Chata, I'm sorry.
Can I make a motion, please? I make a motion to adjourn the meeting now.
You could have done that hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go buy that parcel.